is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. We are live here in Los Angeles. And if you're a news buff, or even if you're not, you'll notice that today was a very special day. A lot of emails from a lot of people circulating about a high-speed chase that took place. Late afternoon, started, I believe, in Palmdale and ended up in Camarillo. And this crazy chick, I don't know her, but I imagine if you take a U-Haul, steal it, and try to flee the cops, that there's some craziness going on. Because everybody can see you. It's the crazy woman in the U-Haul. And it was fun to watch that all afternoon. It's like a Super Bowl breaking out. Can you say that? Or it's like a big game breaking out. It's like big game Sunday breaking out. And here to tell us more, the guy who was on watching the entire thing, the biggest stud over at CBS, Channel 2, Paul Majors. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Unfortunately, that big stud couldn't be here, but I am. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Good. I watched you all day.
Yeah, how about that, Chick?
I sat there and looked at this. Now, where did this thing, it started in Palmdale?
Started in Palmdale, yeah.
Right.
She apparently stole that 8,000-pound U-Haul.
Right.
From an acquaintance of hers. So they immediately phoned the police. Well, it wasn't too hard to track her down. So that pursuit started. They tried to pull her over and started on the 14, went down to 5. She got off once, made her way down to the 10, came all the way across the 10, and got right on PCH.
Right.
Went all the way up PCH. And, I mean, she was driving that thing at times, you know, 85, 90 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
How about near the end? Yeah, because I know you watched it.
Yeah, she was
rocking
it. I know
she's jerking that wheel left and right and left and right.
You know what she was doing?
She was bopping to music or something.
No, she was trying to slosh around what was left in the fuel tank.
Yeah, you know what? She was low on fuel.
Yeah, she was trying to throw whatever was left in that fuel tank into the pipe that goes to the engine.
Well, according to U-Haul, that particular model, that particular size truck, and with a full tank, you got a range of about 400 miles.
Oh, Jesus.
With a full tank.
Now, that's got to be a great commercial for 3 hours for U-Haul, no?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah.
I kind of wish our logo was on the top of the truck.
I love the end of it. Folks, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure KCAL and Channel 2, you have it on their website.
Yeah, we do. Plus, we'll show it again tonight. We'll show it again.
But the end of it is great. This lunatic gets, and I can say that you can't because you're a serious news guy, but this lunatic gets out of her U-Haul, and she's run out of gas somewhere up in Camarillo, surrounded by avocado
trees. Right by Selma's, yeah.
Yeah. And she gets out. She's being followed by, there must be 10 helicopters up there, including, CHP and a local police helicopter. She gets out of the U-Haul and is running. They're showing it on Channel 9 right now, actually. And she runs and tries to carjack like a brown Honda or CRX or I don't know what that thing was. And then the highway patrol have had enough of that. They've had a California highway patrol style ass full of that. So they grab her and throw her to the ground. She's running full steam. And the highway patrol guy catches her. She's in a white tank top and throws her onto the pavement. And
yeah, he did a very good job of that. You know what they call that, too?
What?
Sidewalk surfing.
You know what's great, though? And I hate to say this, but every guy who's ever had an argument with his wife or his girlfriend would love to have taken a run and tackled this woman. And it looks like that highway patrol officer may have had some domestic issues in his past as well, because he really threw her down with force, and it was totally legal to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's over.
Well, did you also notice up in the very top part of your screen, as he's, like, closing right in on her?
Right.
Did you see that German Shepherd just come into the top part of the TV screen?
I didn't see that. No, is
yeah,
that the
and then once
dog?
He throws her down, all of a sudden there's the German Shepherd, like, taking one or two more steps. Then clearly he's got her on the ground, and the handler of that Shepherd gives the, retreat bugle.
Right.
And that dog turns around. She's lucky that the guy got her and not the dog.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, what time did that police chase start? I mean, it seemed to
3:15.
2:15?
3:15.
3:15, and it didn't end till almost, 5:30?
Oh, yeah, right around 5:30, yeah.
Yeah.
Just before 5:30, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, man. That was one of the better ones.
Well, she was a maniac. How about when she's driving up PCH to Malibu?
Yeah.
And goes to the right of that RV? How about when she avoids the spike strip?
Yeah.
That's when she's on PCH. And she said, and the cops did a good job of concealing themselves. They sort of hid their vehicles behind a barrier.
Right.
So at the last minute, they throw that spike strip out, and she's got two lanes going north, and she sees that. So at the very last minute, she swerves off the road, drives in the oncoming traffic side across that bridge.
Right.
Those cops, I think it was a Ventura County Sheriff's Deputy at that point, or an L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy, and a chippy. They then try and go over to the other side and throw a spike strip down, but she beat them. I mean, she's a crafty little thing.
She's the best. I mean, listen, she provided me with more entertainment today than most sports teams do over a weekend. You know, because every guy calls or emails another friend and says, hey, we got a high-speed pursuit, and all of a sudden, you know, there's millions of people watching it today.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
and by the way, I know you're from the Midwest, Paul. It's not the PCH. I think she was on PCP.
That's a fact. And, you know, I mean, you've rented a U-Haul. We've all rented U-Hauls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've always got that admonishment in there, that little warning.
Right.
You know, do not drive over 50 miles an hour.
Right.
Yeah, right.
By the way, anytime you do rent a U-Haul, it's not a move up. It's always a sideways move or a move down.
Boy, that's a fact, isn't
it?
I wrecked one time.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, big time. You know, I was pulling around the corner to where I lived, and this was not a move up either.
Right.
There was a parking garage thing out there, you know, the open air kind.
Right.
And, you know, I've got this thing, and I'm driving, and I'm kind of excited, and it's fun to drive it. And as I'm pulling around the corner, there's my wife outside waving at me, like, crossing her arms, flailing them, you know, yelling, no, no. I rammed into that thing.
Oh, Jesus.
The overhang on that thing, I bent the whole parking stall thing, you know, the overhang thing,
man.
You know, the open air kind.
Right. I hope you just pulled out of there and left.
We
right?
loaded up everything in that condo as quickly as we could and got the hell out of it. I mean, it was literally tilting. Didn't go down, but it was tilting.
And that's also when you know you're in a bad place in life, where you get in an accident, the first thing you do is, hey, go, hey, baby, get in the car.
Let's go.
We got to get out of here.
The couch is too heavy. And put a big gash in the U-Haul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But did you have the insurance?
I did.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, now, there was also it was a big news day today. There was a veteran, and evidently a real veteran and a real special police officer in Culver City that was killed this morning.
Yeah, a sergeant over there, a guy named Kurt Massey, 41 years old. This guy's a 17-year veteran of the department. And, in fact, he has been the police officer of the year in Culver City three times.
Jesus.
Married, three kids, 3, 8, and 10. He's just going to work on the 10, right?
Right.
This happens at 5 a.m. You got a wrong-way driver, some 21-year-old guy from Van Nuys who still hasn't been identified.
Right.
And they plow head-on. And two cars burst into flames, and, you know, there was no helping anybody.
Yeah, evidently the first guys that were on the scene were LAPD, happened to be passing by, and used their nightstick to bust one of the windows and pull them out before the car was completely engulfed, but I guess it was too late.
Yeah.
But yeah, anytime, you know, a head-on collision, he was probably doing 70, the other guy was doing 70, so it's, you know, it's like running into a wall at 140 miles
an hour. Exactly right. And in fact, the CHP got a lot of phone calls about this because, you know, people saw him coming. And one of the people who passed him, who was two lanes over, was Pete Demetrio from KFWB radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was driving in east on the freeway, and he saw and all he said was, you know, oh, my God, this is not going to end good. He, in fact, phoned 911, too. They received several phone calls about this.
Jeez.
But, you know, and I've ridden with CHP at night in their cruisers.
Right.
And never once, in fact, this is what led me to ask the question, never once did we ever go in the number one lane, the fast lane.
Right.
When we were cruising, he'd always, the two times I've done it, these two, both male officers, would stay to the right as far as possible and then move around cars and go back to the right. And I had noticed that, and I said, you know, you never go out there in the fast lane. How, why is that? And he said, because when drivers get confused at night and come the wrong way on the freeway, that is the lane they are always in.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, right.
Yeah, because they want to get over as far as they can.
Right.
You know.
But how confused are you when you're in a lane and there's a wall on your right-hand side and you can't read any of the street signs?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That was some crash, and it really tied
it
up
really
traffic.
Was, yeah. Well, it tied up everything all day. It was just just west of National Boulevard on the 10. Yeah, and yeah, they didn't get that open until later in the afternoon, you know, because it's obviously they have to investigate the scene and do all of that. So it really did mess things up for quite a while. But unfortunately, this guy leaves behind three kids. Apparently, he worked in the juvenile division over there. That's where he was currently working. And it would go out of his way to help, juveniles in his jurisdiction in Culver City. So he helps create programs, was involved in programs. But people just described him as obviously three times if you're the officer of the year, you're doing something right.
Yeah, no, there's going to be a big service for him. He was a special guy.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
Kurt Massey, 41 years old.
Jesus. And then there was the big chase. And then right after the chase, there's a plane crash in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica Airport.
What happened there?
Plane's taken off, single engine, two-seater. Just lost power on takeoff, apparently, and obviously this investigation will be going on. That happened at about 5 minutes after five. So that thing burst into flames. Two people died. There was no helping them either. And, of course, that closed down the airport for takeoffs and landings. And that's kind of a big deal because Santa Monica is the busiest single runway airport in the entire country.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either until Larry Wolk told me on the air at 6 o'clock.
Wow. Jesus Christ. I mean, it's one of those days where, every time you turned on TV, there was a bigger tragedy.
Yeah, there was something new.
Terrible news.
And then we had the big revelation concerning the federal, the U.S. Attorney's Office is investigating Roger Mahoney, the Cardinal Mahoney, and the Archdiocese here in L.A.
Yeah. And you got the governor of Illinois who may not make it throughout the week. And he could be gone, could be impeached by Friday.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on.
Remember what I told you before,
man,
about Chicago, though, in politics?
I know.
Not the money, it's the money. My brother who's lived there forever always says that.
That's good.
It's not the money, it's the effing money.
I wish you were able to say that on the air.
So dirty back there.
I know. But I wish you were able to say that on the air, I wish you were able to give commentary over there at CBS.
Well, you could walk up to any sort of reasonably astute person in Chicago and ask him, what is it with the money? They'd all say that to you. In front of their kids.
But see, when you come back from a story, again, Paul Majors is with us from Channel 2. You can see him every single day, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock. You'll be able to watch him in about a little under 3 hours here. But I wish that, they come back from a story where a single mother has dropped 8 kids, and I wish that you could come back and after the story is done just go, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I wish you were able to use that soundbite over at Channel 2. I think the ratings would go through the roof.
I do too. There are always things you want to say. We had a story last night, I think it was either 5 or 11. Did you see this couple in Florida? They had their Labrador cloned.
No, I didn't see
by
that.
The South Korean company. So the South Korean, the couple in Florida pay to have this puppy flown from South Korea to San Francisco, and then it comes from San Francisco to Florida where they are in first class. To clone the dog was $155,000.
Jesus, what recession.
The dead dog, the dog they love so much was named Lancelot.
Right.
This dog is called Lancelot Encore. So we tell all that, and then they say why the dog was so special, and they know it's a lot of money, but it's important.
Right.
Well, so that story plays, right? And then, maybe two stories later, just before a commercial, so here's what was on my brain the whole time. I wanted to go, oh, this just in, Lancelot Encore hit by a milk truck. just read the next thing. $155,000 for a dog. I have a dog. I love dogs.
Yeah, I love dogs too. But I like $150,000 better than I like dogs. Much better.
Oh.
Yeah, $150,000 is too much.
What a world we're living in.
Yeah, it is. It really is insane. Well, Paul, come in sometime, man. We'd like to see you again. Yeah, and were you enjoying the game this weekend?
I'll be right at home.
At home?
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah, just sitting right there eating a big bowl of chili and watching the game. Plus, I've already got my 3D glasses to watch the commercials that are in 3D.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have, I guess 4 or 5 3D commercials.
Yeah, just pick them up at a supermarket.
Yeah, excellent.
They're
free. All right, well, maybe we'll see you in the next couple weeks or so.
All right, say hi to your daughter and your lovely wife.
I will, and you say hi to your family.
All right.
You're the best.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care, everybody. That is Paul Majors, everybody. You can see him tonight on Channel 2. And that guy is a major stud, man. Channel 2 tonight. And they're going to show the highlights of that police chase. And you can probably see it on Channel 9 all night as well. We're a minute and a half in delay here, or else we'd tell you when it's on. But by the time we say it's on Channel 9, a minute and a half, and it's gone. So turn on Channel 9. It's a great ending to a police chase. A woman in a white tank top tackled by a highway patrolman. You rarely get to see that live on TV. All right, folks, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I asked him, I said, have you seen this movie, this Benjamin Button? And he said, oh, yeah, you mean Forrest Gump? I said, no, this Benjamin Button. He said, yeah, it's Forrest Gump. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, have you seen Forrest Gump? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's the same movie. It's written by the same guy, and it's the same movie. And I said, you mean it's exactly the same movie? He goes, it's exactly the same movie. And we have a link up on our website. If you go to timconwayjr.com, is it up there right now? And the junior is abbreviated because not too many people can spell junior. So it's timconwayjr.com. And there's a hyperlink up there, and it's just a plain, it's the only link on the website. What color is it? Same color?
Blue.
All right, it's a blue hyperlink.
At the very bottom.
At the very bottom of the website. And it compares Forrest Gump to Benjamin Button. What's the whole movie?
The Curious Case of
Curious
Benjamin
Case.
Button.
The title's too long. Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And it is Forrest Gump. It's written by the same guy. And check it out on the website. We're going to play right now the audio. And it goes back and forth and compares Forrest Gump to Benjamin Button. If you've seen Benjamin Button, is this true? Is it Forrest Gump? So if we've seen Forrest Gump, we've seen the movie. Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Here is the comparison of these two movies. Forrest Gump and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Here we go.
From the writer of Forrest Gump comes The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. A story of a remarkable boy raised in Louisiana by a single mother.
Benjamin.
Handicapped at birth, he eventually learns to walk. As a child, he meets the true love of his life.
Are you sick? Are you stupid or something?
They grow up and part ways. She moves to the big city. He travels the world, enters a war, becomes a hero, finds his girl. But she is not ready.
This is my life. I gotta get out of here.
He returns home to his mama. He spends time on a boat in the Gulf with a drunk. He befriends a weird black dude. And he always remembers the cryptic advice from his mama.
Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Remember what I told you?
You never know what's coming for you.
That's right.
The writer of Forrest Gump brings you the touching story of a man-child told through flashbacks with thick New Orleans voiceover.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
My name is Benjamin. Benjamin Button.
If you see only one version of Forrest Gump this year, make it The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It's exactly like Gump, except no AIDS. Playing at a theater near you again.
All right, I've seen Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you I enjoyed it. But I've not seen Benjamin Button yet, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. But if you've seen Forrest Gump, have you seen Benjamin Button? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Anthony and Carson, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, man?
All right. It's the same movie?
Definitely not.
It's not.
Really told a different story yet.
All right. What's the story on Benjamin Button? How is it different from Forrest Gump?
Well, Benjamin Button is pretty much it's a story about, because when he was born, he was born old, and pretty much is like reverse. He's old, and just as time goes by, he just gets younger. And Forrest Gump is a really tall, different story. It's about him. He's kind of a special guy. You know, I'm not going to say not retarded, but he's
right.
A special guy. And pretty much, it's just about life. Like, you know, what he goes through life. And
have you seen both movies?
Oh yes.
Which one do you like better?
I like both, but I guess I'm more interested in Benjamin Button, though.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right, dude. All right, thanks for calling, man.
All right,
there he goes, everybody. Benjamin Button, is it Forrest Gump? Matt in Beverly Hills, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi. Hey. I would disagree. I don't think Benjamin Button is much like Forrest Gump at all, really. Forrest Gump, in my mind, was a comedy. I mean, it was about this special person, as one of the previous callers just said, and it was pretty much, it was a comedy. He wound up in funny situations all the time, famous situations. It's almost a commentary on history, too. Whereas Benjamin Button is much more a commentary on life, I think. It's a lot more serious. It's a lot less funny. It's a lot more thought-provoking, too. That said, there are a lot of similarities. It does follow the same kind of flow. It does have the same kind of writing. It's pretty clear. I did not know that it was written by the same person, but it's pretty clear that they are, in fact, written in a similar tone and a similar fashion. So I think that's where people get that, but I would disagree that they're the same movie.
Right. All right, excellent. Well, first two guys disagree. Paige and Simi Valley, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi. Well, both those movies were produced by Steve Tisch, and I'm not sure if he wrote it or not, but there certainly is a common tone. By the way, I disagree. They're definitely not the same movie, but they have some of the same kind of classic elements. You have a guy who has to overcome all kinds of adversity, you know, that's pretty unbelievable, really. The lost love that the guy pines away for his whole life that he wants back.
Right.
I mean, there's certainly some similar kind of classic story elements, but, you know, that's just movies. I mean, if you watch 300 and Gladiator, I mean, that's pretty much the same type of story.
And listen, I'm not getting down on it. There are no more new ideas.
Right.
If you watch, Batman or Superman or, Aquaman or any of these shows or any of these movies, they're basically the same.
Absolutely. I mean, at least they have the same. I mean, God forbid you watch TV, because almost every show on TV, there are like really five shows and they all just air with different characters in them, basically.
Right.
So,
which I think is one of the reasons why, reality TV is becoming more popular.
I think so.
You never really know, what's going to happen. But it is interesting that it's the same writer and people have put this together. And again, we have the link on our website, timconwayjr.com. Have you seen, by the way, the video of this?
I have not seen it yet. I'm driving home. I'm going to check it out the minute I get home.
All right. Well, get off the freeway and go to a Kinko's. Don't wait till you get home.
I'll do it, man.
All
right. Sam, love your show.
Thank you, sir. All right. Get out of here. Jesus Christ. Let's talk to a Manny in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, dude.
All right, dude. Well, check this out. I think Forrest Gump is such a genuine movie. I mean, it's much better. It's shorter than The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And pretty much everyone Forrest Gump meets ends up dying. And it's much more of a dynamic story to me. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, some of the formula you can kind of notice, like, oh, you know what, you got that from Forrest Gump or whatever, but
right.
I personally recommend Forrest Gump 1,000 times much. I'd rather see Forrest Gump, you know.
All right, man, thank you for calling. Forrest Gump was the last movie I saw with my mom. My mom and I went to see Forrest Gump in Canada, but I remember going to the movies with my mom. It wasn't a pain in the ass to me, but it was to the people around me. She would notice things in movies that nobody cared about and then talk about it out loud in the theater. Like, she would notice, she would, you know, watching a movie, I don't know, Twins or something, and they had the same Chrysler van that she owned. And she would say in the theater about this loud, you know, I've got that, but it's in green. They're like, oh, ma, please, please, for God's sakes. She goes, you know, that's probably the standard package on that. I got the upgrade. I got the deluxe on that one. I said, ma, but please, for God's sakes. People are watching the movie here. Robert and Pico Rivera, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, how's it going? Hey,
right,
love the
right.
show, by the way.
Right.
Hey, I've seen both movies. It's kind of got the same plot and storyline, I guess you could say. Two things I want to point out is Benjamin Button was a little bit more pimp. He had way more game with the ladies.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, Forrest Gump didn't have any.
Oh, no, man. He wussed out every time he had a chance.
Yeah.
But anyways, the main role was, I think, Forrest Gump had a way better supporting cast group of characters. I mean, Bubba, you can't just top Bubba's character.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about it, though. And I love the show, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. By the way, you smoke weed?
Oh, that's what I'm on right now.
Yeah. All right, man.
Done with the kush.
All right. You know, I have a theory that anyone who calls up and says they love the show, they're on a massive amount of weed. And because that's how this station is enjoyed more than if you're sober. And if you listen all the way from Corolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, and Tom Likas, this show, and John and Jeff, I'm not saying go out there and smoke weed. But what I'm telling you is we've done a little research, and the people who really enjoy the station are almost passed out because they've smoked so much weed. And Randy, you can attest to that, right?
Smoking weed and listening to 97.1 is one of the greatest experiences in Los Angeles.
But you really have to have both.
Oh, totally.
I mean, you can have, if you have weed and you watch TV, it's okay. But if you have weed and you listen to this show and this station, it's out of this world.
Listening to What the Hell Did Jesse Jackson Say Hi is one of the coolest things ever. Being high, you understand the station differently. By the way, when you're high, John and Jeff are funny.
No, John and Jeff are hysterical when you're sober. Hey, now, here's something that I've done only a couple of times. But listen to Corolla on the podcast after smoking a little. And it's like you're listening to, George Carlin for 3 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really is great. So I'm not saying smoke weed. I'm just saying if you want to enjoy yourself while listening to the station, maybe you hate this show and you hate the station. You hate John and Jeff. You hate Corolla, Likas. I don't know who you hate. Let's say you hate the whole station. But if you have some weed, it does make this station much better. And that should be a promo, too. You know? Let's talk to Dustin in Venice Beach on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to compare Forrest Hump to the bicurious case of Benjamin's bosom.
Nothing alike, huh?
Yeah, not quite, but they're great. You should go check them out at the local video store, Conway.
All right, Dustin. Get out of here, jackass. Mike, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right, man.
So I actually wrote that piece and cut that piece.
Is that right? You and for what website you cut it for?
It's actually we released it online, but it's for Talk Show with Spike Ferris, and a show nobody watches, Late Nights on Fox Saturday Night.
Well, they should watch that show. That's a brilliant piece.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, I'm on a cell phone if I'm breaking up. But during the same movie, I mean, I was watching it. By the way, I was limited to the trailer and the EPK, you know, the clips that are released for the press.
Right, the sales package,
so,
right.
So I couldn't even compare things like in Forrest Gump, you know, there's a feather. In Benjamin Button's a hummingbird, which is a bunch of feathers. Both have hurricanes in New Orleans. Both of them go to see their, you know, Jenny and Daisy, and they're both in a theater when they go to the big city. I mean, it goes on and on. And I didn't even mean to call Fincher out, who's a way better director, and I love the directing. And I didn't even hate Benjamin Button, but that's because I loved Gump.
Right. You know, when I saw this this afternoon, I was watching with Randy Wang and Gina Grad, and very rarely, you know, when somebody says, hey, I got something to show you on the internet that's hysterical, 99% of the time you're like, what? F you. What's so funny about that?
Tell my mom about it. I have to take her computer away. Forwards me the most unfunny things ever. Like she's trying to get the top 10 most unfunny things in the world.
Right. Or how about when somebody sends you a joke that's about 1,200 words? And you're like, wait a minute. I'm just going to read the punchline.
Dad, just like, oh, I didn't know you were racist, Dad. Thanks for forwarding me all your, you know, the right-wing friend racist thing. Right.
Right, yeah, exactly. Hey, but that is terrific, man. He did a great job, and all three of us were just hysterical watching this thing.
Oh, well, you know, and here's the real story now, which I can't talk much about, but, you know, this means millions of dollars. This is like only two movies in history have gotten more nominations, and we're starting to feel it. It was up on YouTube three times. Paramount pulled it all three times.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know if Funny or Die is doing us a solid. I think they are, but they're ignoring, you know, Paramount's claiming copyright, but it's not because it's fair use. It's commentary. It's not a copyright issue at all. So we're starting to feel the muscle, though, because a lot of people are chattering about this. So.
Yeah, it really is. But you know what? I also think that it moves more bodies in to see it.
Yeah, no, it might. Yeah, there's definitely a mystique about it now. You're wondering.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I had no desire to see the movie up until now, because I don't follow. I like Brad Pitt personally. I'm not a big fan of those types of movies. And I heard it's long. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
So is Gump.
And I can barely sit on an airplane for that, you know, period of time. But I now want to go tomorrow and see it. Because people have brought this up, this comparison.
Right. Yeah, so, no, and we, you know, listen, when I was watching the movie and I saw it, I'm like, I cannot be the only person that this is slapping in the face. I went online and all the blogs were on fire about it.
Did you see it sober?
I did see it sober. I got a screener. I was at home, so I had time to pause it and be like, there is not a hummingbird there. And they're not talking about Destiny versus Floater and the same accents. And it was crazy.
Hey, now tell me the name of the show again you work for.
It's called Talk Show with Spike Ferriston, and I did not call the plug, but on this issue only, I'll say it's, you know, we're auditioning for Mad TV's slot, which was canceled, so it's between 11 to 12 on Saturday nights. And actually this Saturday we're having Ben Lyons, you know, Jeff Lyons, the movie critic's son.
Right.
He called it the best movie of 2008. I've challenged him. I think it's the best movie of 1994 when Gump came out. And so he's coming on, and we're gonna go at him about it.
Well, it's very funny. Are you the head writer on the show?
I'm a writer and the executive producer.
That's great, man. Well, I hope that this you get it up on its feet and it lasts for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Really appreciate it. Yeah. I love the show, and I'm not high.
Wow, look at that. Hey, let me put you on hold, and come on in. Well, if you want to bring some of the cast members in, whatever, like to promote it.
Oh, great, man. Oh, thanks.
Hold on. All right. Okay. That guy is, you know, put this piece together, and it's hysterical. We have a link on our website to it, and you got to check it out. Go to timconwayjr.com. All right, folks, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk. But it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Forrest Gump. Is it the same movie as Benjamin Button? And again, I think this works for... Is it Paramount that put it out? I think Paramount put it out. I think this works for them to get an internet buzz on this movie that they could possibly be the same for guys like me. Like, I had no desire to see it. Now I'd like to go see it tomorrow to see what people are talking about. Forrest Gump, is it at all like Benjamin Button? We've seen both of them. Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Here's the piece that Mike put together. And this compares both the movies. You can see this entire piece. It's about a minute and 30 seconds. And it's one of the funniest things I've seen a long time on the internet. So go to the website, timconwayjr.com. We spent a lot of money on that website and a lot of time on it. So check it out. The graphics and everything is just beautiful. Very proud of the work we've done on it. TimConwayJr.com. All right, here's the piece. Here's the audio, but you've got to see the video comparing these two movies. Here we go.
From the writer of Forrest Gump comes The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, a story of a remarkable boy raised in Louisiana by a single mother.
Benjamin.
Handicapped at birth, he eventually learns to walk. As a child, he meets the true love of his life.
Are you sick?
Are you stupid or something?
They grow up and part ways. She moves to the big city. He travels the world, enters a war, becomes a hero, finds his girl. But she is not ready.
This is my life. I gotta get out of here.
He returns home to his mama. He spends time on a boat in the Gulf with a drunk. He befriends a weird black dude. And he always remembers the cryptic advice from his mama.
Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Remember what I told you?
You never know what's coming for you.
That's right.
The writer of Forrest Gump brings you the touching story of a man-child told through flashbacks with thick New Orleans voiceover.
My name's Forrest Gump.
My name is Benjamin Button.
If you see only one version of Forrest Gump this year, make it The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It's exactly like Gump, except no AIDS. Playing at a theater near you, again.
Yeah, you got to check out the video. The audio is great, but the video is even better, man. It's at timconwayjr.com. Let's talk to Martine in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, dude.
How's it going, man?
How are you?
All right. Hey, I just wanted to say real quick that I'm high, and the show is that.
The what?
The show.
What about
good,
it?
Good, man.
I can't understand what you're saying.
No, I'm high right now.
Oh, you're high right now.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, it's much better when you're high, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost cool. Intolerable unless you are, right?
No, I like it better. No, I don't like it better, but I like it. It's cool when I'm not. But yeah. It's even better, you know, when I
got to give you credit as well as all the other stoners that listen to this show, because mm-hmm. when I get high, I get really paranoid and I just want to sit in a dark room and wait until the high, you know, leaves my body, which is not, you know, a good way to spend your money, to spend a lot of money on pot and then just get very paranoid. But you guys, this like new group of stoners, and I include Randy in this as well. Not only do you get high, but you tell the world you're high. I mean, I'd never call talk radio when I was high. I think I would just assume LAPD would surround the building when I'm done, you know? Martine?
Nah, don't be cool.
I hate to kill your buzz. I'm sure LAPD is not going to surround your house. I'm just saying that's me.
No, the cops don't really care around here. No, but, hey, Randy, what's up, man?
What's going on, dude? Hey, what are you smoking?
Some Kush.
Nice. Hey, try, if you ever see the Strand NYC Diesel
Randy,
beer, it is the
Randy,
strongest
Randy,
S in
Randy,
the world.
Please!
God damn. It
turned into a pharmacy show. All right, Martin, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's just, if you follow the story. But
now, before you saw Benjamin Button, did you hear that there were similarities?
Yes, I actually seen that theme on the show.
Oh, I see, all right.
The preview.
Yeah, oh, I see, right, yeah. The one that's on our website.
Yeah, and then I seen the movie.
Oh, all right. Were you high when you saw the movie?
No, I wasn't. I was with my lady.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody should see a movie unless they're buzzed. I couldn't imagine, unless I go to a movie with my daughter, I got to be sober, but I couldn't imagine going to a movie and not either being bombed or high or something. I mean, I can't, you know, you sat there for 2 hours and 45 minutes sober?
It was cool, and I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, man, I wonder if this would be better if I was high.
Yeah, but, yeah. Go see it again high and call us back.
Cool.
All right, take care.
All right, man. Bye.
All right, there he goes. Tyler in Woodland Hills, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I just want to say, I don't think there's any darn similarities to these movies.
None.
None whatsoever. I think the only thing that's similar about it is that they're both long.
They're both long?
Yeah, they're both long. You tell me what similarities you think there are between Forrest Gump and Benjamin Button.
Well, I mean, we played this thing for you here, and, you know, they pointed out like 10 or 15 of them just in that one piece.
It don't make any kind of sense to me, I got to tell you right now.
All right.
I will sell a sleeping Benjamin Button, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, yeah, Forrest Gump is a long movie, too. I think 2 hours and 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, they're both long.
All right, thank you, buddy. Forrest Gump is one of the best movies I've ever seen. I don't know whether that makes me, you know, a shallow a-hole or, you know, a simpleton or whatever. But it really, it was one of those movies where I remember the theater I watched it in, and, you know, it was a little theater in Chatham, Ontario. And it was just a great movie. It came out, I think, in the summer. Wasn't it a summertime movie?
Yeah, summer of 94.
Yeah, I think it was like July of 94. And it was a pretty cool movie. And
it's such a great movie that you can watch it on cable no matter what point in the movie you're in,
I know,
and totally get into it.
I'm exactly the same way. If I flip around and I catch it, I sit there and watch the rest of the movie.
Doesn't matter what point you're at, you can get into it.
I talked to Karen in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
All right, baby.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to say that I think that both of the movies are very similar. They're formulaic, and that they appeal to the American consciousness. They appeal to kind of a sense of, like, American history that makes us feel good about ourselves.
Right.
And one of the things that kind of disturbs me about Benjamin Button is that it obviously takes upon the economic success of Forrest Gump, and it dumps down an F. Scott Fitzgerald movie to come to this kind of level of, oh, we're going to kind of appreciate it on a common level. And I think it's kind of dumbing down a little bit of literature in order to speak to these points that everyone can relate to and point to, as opposed to taking it as the original literary form.
Yeah, but don't you sort of have to do that in today's society?
Unfortunately, you do, but I think
like the average person you run into on a daily basis is pretty stupid, right?
Well, I mean...
Isn't that correct?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, like you call up your bank, or you call up a credit card company, you call a clothing store, or you go into a shopping mall, and the person behind the register is usually not very bright.
That happens, yes.
This happened to me today. I bought lunch, and it was $6.01, right? $6 and a penny. And I gave the woman $11.01. How much change do I get?
Oh, God, she couldn't figure it out, could she?
Not only couldn't she figure it out, I said, I get $9 back, and she gave me $9.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her, you know, $4 back. I said, no, it's just five. But I mean,
$5.
But nobody can figure that out.
Right.
I mean, they're completely stumped if you give them anything different, anything other than a 5, a 10, or a 20.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I think one of the unfortunate things is that, I guess in cinema as well as in anything, you have to appeal to the lowest common denominator. And obviously when you're making, you know, a big bucks, you know, movie production, you have to think, what are the most people that are going to get their bodies into the box office going to appreciate? And it's something that everyone can feel that
right.
They can formulaically understand.
Right. Now, Karen, you seem to be very bright. You go to college?
Yes.
You did.
Of course.
Do you write movie reviews for a living?
No, I'm involved in the arts, and I write a lot, but not for anything related to film industry.
You should do that.
I work in a different aspect of the arts, but not for entertainment.
What do you do?
I'm a museum curator.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I write about you know, contemporary culture.
You know, the chances of you and I running into each other later on in life are almost zero.
Well,
I mean, just by accident, you and I running into each other, it's almost zero.
It's, it's a chance, zero chance that I would call, except for when we watched the movie, the whole time my fiancé were like, this is exactly like Forrest Gump. The whole time we're like, it's Forrest Gump.
Right. Which museum do you work at?
Oh, I can't say on the air. I can't say.
You work at the Getty?
I can't say.
Maybe, right?
I can't say.
Okay.
So.
I was over at LACMA. Obviously, you're familiar with that museum.
Indeed.
And I was looking at a painting. Doug Steckler had a couple of tickets, and we went, had a couple of beers and walked through this museum. And the guy comes up to me and says, sir, could you step away from the painting? I said, I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to cut it up here and run. He says, I know, but we don't like people breathing on it.
True.
And
okay.
I thought, what the F? I mean, I'm in a place where a guy tells me, you know, how hard I can breathe and how close I can breathe to it.
Oh, it's conservation. It's conservation. Believe me, every little drop of moisture affects the longevity of
Jesus Christ. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Breathe and all of a sudden, you know, the paint's going to be on the floor.
Well, I want to say that it's not crazy, but what has happened in the past, which is totally an aside topic, is that in one instant. People have slash paintings,
right.
They throw acid on paintings.
I know. I wasn't going to do that, though.
So, obviously, right. You wouldn't. But he doesn't know. He's one of those people that, I mean, a museum guard, not to disrespect.
Right. Karen, you're very smart. And if you'd like to do movie reviews, we'd like to have you in and do one every once in a while. Is that cool?
Thank you. Sure thing.
All right. Hold on one second. Hey, see if she'll come in and do it. She's a very bright museum curator. Can you imagine me and her ever crossing paths? Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
It'd be fun to ever do movie reviews. Eric in Woodland Hills, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man.
Jesus Christ.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, dude.
I was just going to, I don't want to take up too much time, but I just want to say I did see Benjamin Button high, and I honestly couldn't have imagined sitting there through that whole movie and not being high, because that was a long freaking movie.
Does your buzz sort of wear off, though, after a couple hours?
Yeah, you kind of, you know, you're not as high by the end of the movie as you were towards the beginning. But
don't you have to bring, like, you know, pot cookies or brownie with you or something?
No, I just ate on some popcorn and just kind of kicked it with my girlfriend. But I didn't really see any similarities between the movies. I didn't know there was supposed to be any. Like, I thought both movies celebrated life, but Benjamin Button, I thought, sort of explored death more and was sort of embracing death more than Forrest Gump did, anyway, for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to see Benjamin Button. I'm going to go look at it tomorrow and check it out. But it is an interesting sales tool, the internet, where so many people are talking about the similarities. They will get, you know, extra 10 to 15% of the people to go see it just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, Eric.
Yeah, of course. Right. Thanks for having me on.
Look at that guy. All right, Kate in Northridge. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Tim, don't waste your time seeing this movie.
Bad vibes?
I'm telling you, I saw it 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And the whole time I'm sitting through it, I'm going, this is Forrest Gump. This is exactly Forrest Gump. I didn't even know the writer was from Forrest Gump. And then when I got this, I go on, and my friend sends me a link on the internet to this video.
Right.
And I was just amazed because I knew there were exact shots where he's walking onto the house. It's just amazing.
It is great,
and
though.
Then you're paying for 3 hours of Brad Pitt staring blankly into the camera. And it's just, I mean, it just seemed really empty and sort of, I don't know, contrived to me.
All right, well, you
know, but I mean, visually, it's amazing. It's astounding. It's beautiful.
Right.
So.
But for guys like me who don't really go to the movies that often, I may go like 3 or 4 times a year, and I only go if my daughter wants to see something. I don't go for myself. But it's amazing that now that, you know, a guy like me who never goes to the movies would love to go see this just to check out the similarities.
Yeah, that's working in Paramount and Warner Brothers' favor. That's
yeah,
for sure.
It's absolutely working. All right, Kay, we thank you for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, there she goes, everybody. We're going to do the news at 9 o'clock with Gina Grad, the most talented news person in all of radio. What's going on with the news?
Thank you very much, Tim. You should only accept breast implants from people you like and only drive a Yaris if you're well moisturized. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Jesus Christ, look at that. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.